Dios's hands opened and closed fitfully. He felt like a royalist might feel if suddenly all the royals turned up in his living room and started rearranging the furniture. A good royalist. A royalist who cut out pictures of all the royals and stuck them in a scrapbook. A royalist who wouldn't hear a word said about them. They did such a good job and they can't answer back. He longed for the necropolis and the cool silence among his old friends and a quick sleep after which he'd be able to think so much more clearly. Kumi's heart leapt. Dios's discomfort was a crack which, with due care and attention, could take a wedge. But you couldn't use a hammer. Head on, Dios could outfight the world. The old man was shaking again. "I do not presume to tell them how to run affairs in the hereunder," he said. "They shall not presume to instruct me in how to run my kingdom." Kumi salted this treasonable statement away for further study and patted him gently on the back. "You're right, of course," he said. Dios's eyes swiveled. "I am," he said suspiciously. "I'm sure that as the king's minister you will find a way. You have our full support, O Dios." Kumi waved an uplifted hand at the priests, who chorused wholehearted agreement. If you couldn't depend on kings and gods, you could always rely on old Dios. There wasn't one of them that wouldn't prefer the uncertain wrath of the gods to a rebuke from Dios. Dios terrified them in a very positive, human way that no supernatural entity ever could. Dios would sort it out. "And we take no heed to these mad rumours about the king's disappearance. They are undoubtedly wild exaggerations with no foundation," said Kumi. The priests nodded, while in each mind a tiny rumour uncurled the length of its tail. "What rumours?" said Dios out of the corner of his mouth. "So enlighten us, master, as to the path we must now take," said Kumi. Dios wavered. He did not know what to do. For him, this was a new experience. This was change. All he could think of, all that was pressing forward in his mind, were the words of the ritual of the third hour, which he had said at this time for how long? Too long, too long. And he should have gone to his rest long before, but the time had never been right. There was never anyone capable. They would have been lost without him. The kingdom would founder. He would be letting everyone down. And so he'd crossed the river. He'd swore every time that it was the last, but it never was, not when the chill fetched his limbs and the decades had become longer. And now, when his kingdom needed him, the words of a ritual had scored themselves into the pathways of his brain and bewildered all attempts at thought. He said. You Bastard chewed happily. Tepic had tethered him too near an olive tree, which was getting a terminal pruning. Sometimes the camel would stop, gaze up briefly at the seagulls that circled everywhere above Ifib City, and subject them to a short, deadly burst of olive stones. He was turning over in his mind an interesting new concept in thou-dimensional physics, which unified time, space, magnetism, gravity, and for some reason broccoli. Periodically he would make noises like distant quarry blasting, but which merely indicated that all stomachs were functioning perfectly. Petrachi sat under the tree feeding the tortoise on vine leaves. Heat crackled off the white walls of the tavern, but Tepic thought how different it was from the old kingdom. There, even the heat was old. The air was musty and lifeless. It pressed like a vice. You felt it was made of boiled centuries. Here it was leavened by the breeze from the sea. It was edged with salt crystals. It carried exciting hints of wine, more than a hint, in fact, because Zeno was already on his second amphora. This was the kind of place where things rolled up their sleeves and started. "But I still don't understand about the tortoise," he said with some difficulty. He'd just taken his first mouthful of Ephebian wine, and it had apparently varnished the back of his throat.
"It's quite simple," said Zeno. "Look, let's say this olive stone is the arrow, and this," he cast round aimlessly, "and this stunned seagull is the tortoise, right? Now, when you fire the arrow, it goes from here to the seagull, the tortoise. Am I right?"
"I suppose so, but by this time, the seagull, the tortoise, has moved on a bit, hasn't he? Am I right?"
"I suppose so,"
said Tepic, helplessly. Zeno gave him a look of triumph.
"So the arrow has to go a bit